Hello, everyone. I'm Contessa of Wrestling.com, and joined by John Clark tonight to talk about WWE Monday Night Raw. John, how you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Doing pretty well. Can't complain for a Monday night here. Here to talk about Monday Night Raw, the fallout of Elimination Chamber as the road to WrestleMania continues. Before we do, just want to remind you all, this show, like everything we do here, is available on all of our platforms, SoundCloud, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be. We've got you covered. So leave a like and subscribe. We appreciate it. So Raw tonight, as I said, coming right out of Elimination Chamber on Saturday. We went, roughly an hour yesterday talking all about that, so not going to get too bogged down in the specifics there. But Raw tonight opened with the new WWE Champion, Brock Lesnar. He didn't get to say all that much before Paul Heyman interrupted and confirmed the news that Brock Lesnar will have a roadblock of sorts in just a few weeks from now, March 5th at Madison Square Garden, a live event or a house show, if you will, where he'll defend the WWE title. Now, this is where things get interesting. Heyman said Lesnar will be defending against Bobby Lashley. Now, of course, we know Bobby Lashley reportedly is injured, either from the apparent injury he got at Elimination Chamber or, according to some reports, the injury he suffered supposedly as early as Royal Rumble. If Lashley is not ready to go, Heyman promised that he will still guarantee Lesnar will have an opponent worthy of Madison Square Garden. So it's interesting to imagine what that might look like, because at least based on some of the reports, Lashley is expected to be out for the estimates have been 4 months. At the very least, it seems to be pretty unlikely he'll be ready to go for the house show, which is on March 5th. DJ pointing out, yes, they said concussion protocol. But it does seem to be pretty clear that's not Bobby Lashley. But overall here, this definitely, even without Roman Reigns appearing, definitely furthered the build for Lesnar versus Roman. And we know that will be a winner-take-all match because Lesnar is now the WWE champion. John, what are you thinking about? Again, we talked about the result there, but at least the idea that Lesnar will defend the title at Madison Square Garden in, I think that's just about... Next Saturday. There you go.
I don't think that this segment did a whole lot. It felt kind of pointless, other than to make that announcement that we are pretty confident will not be Lashley. So we'll see what they do. I love how they act like this is just a rare occurrence. Like, there's always house shows leading up to WrestleMania. The title is always defended at house shows leading up to WrestleMania. This is no different. They're trying to imply that it is or more important than in the past, obviously because of where it is, and I get that. Now, Lesnar doesn't need Heyman anymore. Like, he doesn't need Heyman to be involved in his, promos. I think he's good enough now on the mic. He's settled in nicely to this new role he's playing, that he's okay on his own. I feel like they have Heyman still as like that safe barrier just in case something goes off the rails or whatever. But the fans are into this, and I think it's very clear that nobody's being fooled here. He's not losing this title at a house show. I would be very surprised unless it was somebody like out of left field. It's going to be somebody ordinary that is not going to win.
Any guesses about who that might be?
If it's not Lashley, which I don't think it will be Lashley, I have to think it's like he's going to try to throw someone it's not going to be Cody Rhodes. Don't say Cody Rhodes. It's not going to be probably Styles. He'll be involved with Edge. It's not going to be Owens or Rollins because they'll be in the tag thing there. So like the options there aren't a whole lot. I don't think it'll be Edge either. Maybe Big E gets thrown back into the title picture temporarily. It's not going to be Veer either. The options are not plentiful. It could be somebody like Dolph Ziggler too. They're good for throwing somebody like even Finn Balor into a match like that. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like, especially assuming they advertise it ahead of time, where you figure that presumably they know Lashley's not ready to go or wouldn't be cleared to go, they would advertise that even the week of the show. So that, again, that's not this Saturday, next Saturday, so maybe sometime next week. I feel like they would want a fairly big name for that. You mentioned Big E, Finn Balor. Maybe I could see that. I could see them, you know, it's not ideal, but just throwing Seth Rollins in there, he can take a loss. I also don't, Davey was mentioning, and Steven said this as well, mentioning a guy like Edge. I don't think they would, not to say it'd be a waste, but Edge, you know, Edge versus Lesnar, like, I don't see if I don't think they're going to do that on a house show. I mean, that's a big match. And like, I know that, you know, Edge is, you know, he only has so many matches left, but I don't see them really doing that on a show that's not on Peacock. That's not really, that's not this big televised show, or, you know, that's not airing, right? This is presumably just a house show. So
it's going to be Commander Z's.
I mean,
or MVP. If Lashley can't go, it'll be MVP.
Who even knows? Brian Everett saying Goldberg. I mean, we do Goldberg reportedly his contract. His last match on the current deal was at Elimination Chamber. That's not to say that he can't sign a new deal, but he very well might want to take some time off. DJ pointed out it is Madison Square Garden, so yes, it is a big show, and that's what I'm saying. I expect it to be a big match. Heyman said it will be a name worthy of that spotlight. So,
you know, I wanted to say Omos, like Steven said, but I just can't see them putting him into that match and then basically him losing. So that's not going to happen either.
And I'm not trying to knock Omos, but I'm assuming it's going to be somebody that can work, quote unquote, that can really give Lesnar a good match. Lesnar's very good on his own, but at his best, he's with a guy like AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan back then, Finn Balor. We've seen that as well. But yes, exactly, Bryan. I'm saying almost maybe a little too green in that sense. Maybe down the road at some point, but we'll see. Like I said, I would assume next week they would kind of almost have to announce, hey, Lashley can't go. Here's the advertisement for the show. And in that case, we could have maybe ideally by next Monday, we'll know, but we can have to wait and see on that one. John, you mentioned not necessarily needing Heyman and Lesnar to be involved in the same storylines here. I think I would agree in some sense, and that does kind of beg the question, what will happen moving forward? If Lesnar wins WrestleMania, I think that, you know, we could kind of see him fully on his own in the sense that at that point he'd be done with Roman and by extension done with Heyman. And of course, in the weeks ahead, we'll have to kind of wait and see exactly how that unfolds. I feel fairly confident Roman's going to win, but as we were talking about last night on the Chamber post show, if anybody's going to beat Roman at this point, I feel like Brock might be one of the leading contenders for better or worse. So going to have to wait and see what happens there, but not going to have to wait too long to see Brock Lesnar again. He will be on SmackDown this week to personally introduce Roman to himself as the new champion. So again, building up to that title versus title match for WrestleMania. At least we didn't talk about much last night, but even just kind of right off the bat here, this will be a winner-take-all match for WrestleMania. And John, just to elaborate a little bit, thoughts on the potential that this could be either a title unification match or at the very least a title consolidation match of having both titles go to one person.
Yeah, that second thing you said is where I think it's going to happen, at least temporarily. Now, we saw the same thing with that. Would have been, was that Charlotte or Becky or somebody recently?
Becky,
that
Becky
had
two
both?
Belts. Becky two belts, yes.
No, but even after that, somebody had two championships and lost one. Because Becky... Well, yeah, I guess it was Becky.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know how they would want to approach this because it's the main event. It has to be a clean finish, so somebody's going to have both. And then it's like, well, do you have two matches at the same, like, premium live event? Like, what do you do?
Yeah. You know, it's odd, right? It's like I struggle to really think of the best path forward here. I've seen some people kind of predicting that Reigns might win, and then potentially we get another year of him with both titles. I don't think that. I love Roman, right? I'm a big fan of all the work he's doing. I don't think having Roman Reigns have both titles for another year after WrestleMania 38 is the way to go. I also don't really think having Brock Lesnar beat Roman in WrestleMania is the right way to go. I would say at this point, from what we're kind of seeing, it feels like they've booked themselves into a corner in some ways. And I'm very curious to see how they get out of it. Like, this is not a great situation in terms of, you know, you think of the options, like you said, you know, having one guy having both titles or you know, and then that has its own complications. I just don't know. But again, I mentioned the idea of having Roman have both titles for another year. In theory, that would set up, as Brian Everett saying, for the Rock match. Reportedly, that's what they want to do for WrestleMania 39 next year. Lot could happen, a lot could change. The Rock could have a complication with the filming schedule, who even knows? But reportedly, that's what they want to do. That's been the dream match for ages now. Time to tell if they get there. But, I mean, beating Brock Lesnar definitely would be a huge kind of notch in Roman Reigns' belt in that sense. And then, you know, that would set that up pretty nicely there. But Anesta repeating what we said last night here, it's preferring the idea that, you know, have Brock defend his title on night one and then face Roman on night two. I mean, at that, like I said last night, just to repeat, you know, at that point, you lose a bit of the luster of having Brock Lesnar compete. Like, he's an attraction, and then you would want to have kind of both nights of WrestleMania be special in their own way. And Lesnar being on both nights, there's something to be said for that, where it's like, oh, it's Brock Lesnar, he should defend his title. I would agree, but at the same time, winner take all, you know, in theory, again, it is a little weird. Maybe they're having this house show. Like, if anything, they should make it one of those they've done this before, have it house show that airs on Peacock, or in this case, back then it was WWE Network. So at least we could all see the match so that you could have him with a title defense. But alas, as far as we know, it'll just be a house show. So presumably Lesnar would win, and there you go. Another big story out coming out tonight's show, both something that did and didn't happen. So earlier today, I think it was this morning, WWE was teasing, you know, indirectly teasing a very, there'd be a big surprise return. They posted a video of like the top surprising returns in Raw history, and fans ran away with this. John, I tweeted about this, thinking it'd be kind of funny. I said, okay, WWE's teasing the thing, the surprise return. And I joked, fan one says, oh, it's Cody Rhodes. Fan two says, oh, it's Steve Austin. And then my reaction was saying, very likely it'll be like Lacey Evans returns tonight. This tweet blew up. Everyone just like hopped on it. And like people were like saying, oh, like maybe it's Cody. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. It's like, this was a very just like, if not a heated topic, a very buzzworthy topic. Everyone wanted to know, like, oh, like we're going to get something. And then, you know, shortly before the show, and others, you know, started to kind of predict it anyway, that it would be Logan Paul. And that's all we got. Logan Paul returning to, or in this case, coming over to Raw. He was on SmackDown last year. Coming over to Raw to team up with The Miz to officially face Rey and Dominic Mysterio for WrestleMania. The Miz even played into the Cody Rhodes thing a little bit. He said that he had found someone that who was dashing, who was a pioneer, who was from a family of fighters, very, very, very clearly teasing the Cody Rhodes. At least the speculation there, that's still not confirmed. But we do know that Logan Paul has come back. He is teaming up with The Miz. They will seem, they've all but confirmed it will be the two of them facing the Mysterios at WrestleMania. Boy, whenever Logan Paul shows up, the crowd just lets him have it. Like, the WWE Universe does not like the man. And I know that's the point, but, like, it seems like a level above, like, heel heat. It feels like a away heat. Like, boy. I don't know, John, what do you think about this? Logan Paul being back, teaming with him is here to face Rey and Dominic.
I think it's fine because of the extreme heat that's being drawn out here. I think it could be intriguing, it could be interesting, but they have to do something to really make it mean like more than it does now. Right now it's still just a grudge match that has like no meaning behind it. So let's see where it goes, but I know a lot of people that were upset about it, but I'm fine. It's all right, whatever.
Yeah. My reaction was more apathy, especially because it was already kind of reported or spoiled beforehand. I was like, all right, this is what's happening. But DJ, very clearly not a fan, saying Logan Paul go away, and also saying that Miz should have chosen Veer. Well, Veer hasn't come quite yet. He's still on his way. But Ness is asking, why do they keep bringing Logan Paul back if the fans clearly don't like him? I mean, we see this a lot. You know, a guy like Baron Corbin or any number of other characters in WWE, like the fans are so against them in some ways that the reaction is so loud. If you're Vince McMahon or the decision makers, whoever you want to say, you hear that and it's like, oh, that's heat. Some reaction is better than no reaction. The crowd, by reacting, in some ways, they're kind of encouraging Logan Paul or whoever it might be, you know, and any number of other examples to be brought back again. Just the fact that they get the kind of reaction, you know, you can't really even blame them in that sense. So, you mentioned that the build hasn't been that heated yet. I thought it was interesting where The Miz actually cut a pretty good promo. He was saying, hey, Rey Mysterio and I are actually a lot alike. Rey, like, cheats to win. Like, we both do whatever it takes to win. But then dresses like the fans hate The Miz, they love Rey. And again, we've talked about that for a while. Like, Rey and Dominic always cheat to win. A little bit of either hypocrisy or just at best irony there. But I thought that was actually kind of interesting, and I thought that could have helped actually make the story a little more interesting heading into Elimination Chamber. And they didn't do that. It was more of a feud that was just entirely based around Rey and Dominic, and if not even cheating, it was very kind of surface level. I thought that would have been a little more interesting. Like, and he said something about like hiding behind a mask, maybe a little cliche, but interesting. Like, actually, like something of substance. And we got that tonight, and that kind of was quickly dwarfed by Logan Paul coming here, because now that's the story of this, you know, whole program. So I don't know. I thought that was actually a nice kind of way to add a little more meaning to this, whereas, as I said, it was a little more, a little surface level there. But again, Logan Paul here, Michael's saying, Logan garners the heat you can't teach. People want to see it. Well, at the very least, I'll agree with the first part. That's heat. Like, whether it's, again, heel heat or just dislike, for lack of a better word, you know, again, it's the reaction. And again, at the end of the day, that's pretty clearly what... That's the name of the game, really. You know, it's getting the reaction. So, with Miz, with that pretty blatant name drop, the reference, Cody Rhodes with dashing. I mean, many people thought that was a sign it would be Cody Rhodes. Instead, it was a very blatant misdirect. Is that to say that Cody Rhodes is never coming? No, like, for all we know, and maybe next week, right? Who even knows? That has not been confirmed. We have no idea what's happening there. That's very much a wait and see kind of thing, but. There's no way to know. But speaking of references and name dropping, Edge came back tonight, cut a promo, and he issued an open challenge for WrestleMania, very, very, very clearly setting the stage for the match that many, many people want to see, Edge versus AJ Styles. So Edge was talking about his WrestleMania history over the years. He's a legend. He's had many, many, many WrestleMania moments here, saying he fought and called his way back to WrestleMania, came back, main event last year. So, and he wants that again this year. He wants a big WrestleMania match. He wants to be phenomenal. And obviously, AJ Styles is the phenomenal one, but maybe in a little surprising, if not a twist, just the way they handled it, this was just Edge's promo. AJ Styles did not come out. Nobody answered the call. Instead, it was Edge just throwing down the gauntlet for that match. Presumably, at some point, sooner or later, whoever it might be, the fairly clear prediction being AJ Styles will answer the challenge. But John, what do you think about Edge's promo here and the fairly safe prediction that we will see Edge versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania?
I thought it was pretty brilliant and well executed. There was teases to multiple superstars. AJ Styles, of course, there was even a tease to Finn Balor, to Cody Rhodes. He mentioned something about there's no smoke and mirrors here or whatever. Oh, that was pretty funny. And then, of course, The Miz made a similar reference about the dashing earlier tonight. So it's clear that they're running with this, with whatever teases they can give here to keep people tuned in. However, Edge and Styles is definitely the money match, like Brian says. I think this is where they're going. So I'm not sure if there's any other direction they could go at this point that would make sense. He's called out somebody that fits AJ Styles perfectly, and it would be a good match that really, I mean, either one could realistically win and be okay. I think Styles would probably win, though. That's just me. And then he would propel himself into the title picture again. I'm ready to see this, though. I think it'll be good.
I couldn't agree more. This match I've wanted to see for a while. This feels like one of those matches where, if not everybody, many, many people want to see it. It's not one that we've seen yet, and I think WrestleMania would be the perfect stage for it. And with a guy like Edge at this point, you can't assume that he's going to be around for 2 years. Like, you can't assume anything, right? Like, he's getting older. Like, at any given point, he could say, all right, you know, that's it. Not say, like, his next match. I'm just saying, you know, maybe No, maybe after this year, right? You never know. You can't assume that you're going to have more time. So I think they should do that match while they can, and rather than kind of putting it off. But I agree. I think Brian's saying it's a money match. AJ, Steven's saying it's going to be a great match. I certainly hope so. I would agree with Brian as well. You can't waste Edge no matter what. Whatever it is, it has to be meaningful, or at least a good story, a good match, something people want to see. And I think the stuff that fits that bill. So here's hoping that we get that. And here's hoping they don't play around too much. Like just give people what they want, right? That's my philosophy here. DJ is asking if didn't AJ suffer an injury at Elimination Chamber. I didn't see that.
I heard
Bobby Lashley, but I didn't say anything about AJ. Could be wrong, but didn't see anything. If I am wrong, I'll keep you posted over in the news section. But as far as we know, he's good to go. So, and I feel like they wouldn't have planted that very, very blatant breadcrumb of the phenomenal line. Because Johnny mentioned that they had other teases as well, but like that was a very clear, like, all right, come on, like that's where we're going. I have to think. I have seen some speculation or some theories here that there was the smoke and mirrors line as well. Another reference to Cody Rhodes. DJ saying that would be a good match as well. They could hold off till the day of the show. I certainly hope not. He references that they did that with Cena and Undertaker. I would much prefer them to actually do a build, some promos. Both guys very good at promos. So hopefully they don't do that. I think just kind of have it actually be a nice build and add a little, not that the WrestleMania card's lacking, but like I'm not really excited about most of the other matches that we've gotten officially announced so far, at least to like by and large. I think Roman and Lesnar is interesting given the stakes, but otherwise not, you know, I'm not really here to see Logan Paul wrestle. Not really digging most other things we've kind of set the stage for so far, but this will be a match that I'd be very excited for. Eddie's saying it will be a phenomenal match if it happens. I certainly hope it does. Because of course, you've got that backstory. Edge returned to the Royal Rumble 2 years ago. Spirit AJ hurt his shoulder, took him out of the match earlier than expected. So there you go, right? That's just, it makes sense. So I hope they do it. Here's what happens. But this was not the only open challenge we got tonight. We also had Finn Balor answer an open challenge. But before he did, he returned to Raw for the first time since a couple weeks ago. I haven't seen him in a while. He got taken out by Austin Theory, lost to Austin Theory. There are reports that Vince McMahon just doesn't see him as a main eventer anymore. And not being on the show for a couple weeks kind of seemed to suggest that there was a little trouble in paradise there. But we did see for the second week in a row, Tommaso Ciampa, former NXT champion on Raw, teaming up with fellow former NXT champion Finn Balor. John, this made me happy. Two former NXT champions, two former standouts of the Black and Gold era. It made me happy and also very kind of sad because Black and Gold era is a thing of the past. But at least in that kind of nostalgic sense, it was pretty darn cool seeing them team up against the Dirty Dogs. It was a good match. Ciampa also got the pin here. He rolled up Robert Roode. I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. And this will lead into Ciampa versus Igor tomorrow night on NXT, where the winner will earn the NXT title shot. And we'll see if Chambers picking the Dolphins can win that one. I would agree. I think that's been a pretty clear direction where they're going, you know, in terms of the next stand and deliver thing. That's been, it feels like that's a pretty obvious direction. But Nessa saying she's glad to be back. We've got Brian saying Ciampa should have been called up a while ago. And Nessa saying she's loving seeing Ciampa on Raw. Agreed. So John, and then later in the show, Finn Balor answered Damian Priest's open challenge for the U.S. title. That match was later confirmed for next week. So to that, I say, give Finn Balor the title. This Damian Priest thing is just not working for me. The inner Damian thing, it's no. Like at this point, do the title change, back to the drawing board, and do something else. That's my take on it.
I mean, it's cool to see Tommaso on Raw and them doing these matches, these tag matches, and continuing to build stuff both on Raw and NXT. And then, of course, Damian Priest as well, calling out basically anybody, but at the same time, a specific group of people that I was trying to wrap my head around who it would possibly be. For a second, I was actually thinking, like, are they really going to bring Cody back for
this?
That's
what I thought as well.
Are they going to bring Cody back to have him win the United States title? Like, come on. But it would make sense, like the American Nightmare, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would have been funny. But Balor's going to win, I think. I think the time's finally came, and this could result in a rematch at Mania with Demon Balor and Demon Priest or Damian Priest or whatever. And I agree with Steven. So yeah, that's where I think we're at now. And somebody, I don't know who, will be the champion walking out of Mania. I would assume probably Balor, but we'll see. Priest has been surging up the charts here, and he is very close to a top five appearance for the first time ever in the rankings. I believe he was like six or seven this week. He has been winning left and right. He's been dominating. And of course, next week, though, it could go down if he loses, but we'll see.
Question: do gimmicks or just overall creative factor into the rankings, or is it just kind of win loss and like general success?
No, it's everything. It's not wins and losses only. It's how much they're being used on TV, what reactions they're getting in the crowd, are people talking about them on social media, things like that. I mean, it's really everything. I would say it's more of a popularity thing, but that's not really the case because it does mix in the success and basically creative, like, are they being used? Because we know Cesaro, for example, is really popular, but he never does anything. So he hasn't smelled the list in months. That's just an example, shame. But yeah. And of course, longest tenured United States champion since the brand split, which would have been Dean Ambrose, that didn't defend the title at all in like 3 years. So we'll see where this leads to, but I do think that the time has come and gone for this to be over.
Yeah. And you mentioned, again, maybe dragging it out to WrestleMania. I saw some tweets about, I mean, ironically, something, some odd symmetry of Demon Balor versus Inner Damian, the Inner Demon. There's something there. I can see him doing that. At the same time, there's, you know, we've talked about it before. I'm still thinking, you know, a guy like Austin Theory could easily be the guy to get the title as well. I feel fairly confident if they don't do the title change next week, they'll have the Damian Priest yet again. His Inner Damian will come out. It'll be a DQ, and they will drag it out. And if they do that, I would feel pretty safe in predicting that Austin Theory will get added to the mix. Maybe they do a triple threat match for WrestleMania because it's a 2-night show. You gotta build the card somehow. So it'd be cool to have the title defend on the show at all, and then to have a triple threat match like that, I think that'd be pretty good. So especially with that comment also mentioning that Vince is clearly high in Austin Theory. He was the last man standing against Brock Lesnar in the Chamber match, and actually got arguably the most offense in on Brock Lesnar in that match. So yeah, I think that bodes pretty well in that sense. So, I think they're going to do one of the two. Either Balor's going to get it, or they're going to hold off and give it to Theory. Either way, I think that time has come. Priest, time to mix something up. But yes, definitely a good sign here with Brian saying this could be the way they salvage Finn Balor. I would like to see that. Been a big fan of Finn Balor. I've always wanted to see him treated better. And I think this could be a way to kind of, yeah, kind of a redemption of sorts. So here's hoping they do that. But if not, I mean, if Priest does retain, Eddie says, why not have Priest do like an open challenge until WrestleMania? Maybe do, you know, some kind of ladder match WrestleMania where they do that all the time for the title here. I think that could be something, but they have options. I just think it'd be good to have the title defended somehow, you know, because otherwise you wind up like Shinsuke Nakamura, never defending the title, and then ultimately losing it in a fairly meaningless reign. Now he was injured, so that's an exception. But nonetheless, hopefully one of the things happens, and we get to see something like that. But speaking of titles, we do know that 2 weeks from now we will see a Raw Tag Team title match. The tag team titles were kind of present throughout the show here. There was the first match on the card where the Alpha Academy faces the Street Profits. A good match, one we've seen many times. Now this was interesting because usually Montez Ford is the guy that gets kind of the spotlight in the Street Profits match, but instead, I feel like Angelo Dawkins really kind of had a bit of a breakout match here. He got the dive over the top rope. He got the hot tag. He was actually looking pretty good. And at several points, it looked like the Street Profits could get the win here. In the end, Ford went to slam Otis, and he just failed the very last second. Otis kind of squashed Ford, and Gable helped him pin him. Good match. Deidre pointing out that, at least in his mind, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens are going to win the gold in 2 weeks, though we do know in the main event, Rollins and Owens did defeat RK-Bro in a match where, if they won, they would get added to the tag title match that RK-Bro earned by winning the Alpha Academy Challenge. So, yes, that we do know that will be a triple threat match in 2 weeks, and that does kind of beg the question how that might go, because they are running out of time to set up a build between Riddle and Randy Orton. Like we've been largely thinking they would do the RK-Bro split and feud. John, it's almost March, and we've they've really kind of backed on that. Like, we haven't even released any teases of it recently, so now there's the idea that they might just delay that and I guess maybe wait on it. But at this point, at least, who are you thinking might win that tag title match?
So, do you want to know why I am excited about this match in 2 weeks?
Why is that?
Well, I'm not sure if you were on Twitter to see the spoiler that I put, but not really a spoiler, but I'm going to be there, actually, in 2 weeks. I'll be at Raw in Cleveland in 2 weeks, and that's when they announced this match for the Triple Threat tag match. So I think it's going to be a very good match. That's why I was happy when they said 2 weeks, and I was looking at the calendar. I was like, wait a minute, that's when I'll be there. So I'm happy that I'll get to see that match. I think it's going to be a good one. As far as this build, and no, DJ, no toaster. This was good. This is good. As far as the Triple Threat thing goes, about who could walk out, I'm honestly convinced that some way, somehow, Gable and Otis will keep them. If not, I think Owens and Rollins could win. But here, I think it's going to be a pretty big deal in 2 weeks for numerous reasons. One, I feel like a lot of turning on somebody's back are going to be in store. Could Stone Cold show up in 2 weeks to confront Kevin Owens? Could Orton and Riddle turn on each other in 2 weeks? Could Rollins and Owens turn on each other if that's what they want to do? Because we've seen that could be a possibility to revisit that again. So I'm not convinced that we're going to see a change in title holders, but I am convinced that it's going to be a really good match.
That I definitely agree with. You know, it's going to be good no matter what. This was a very good main event. I think Riddle and Rollins specifically were very, very good when they were in the ring together. Two very, very talented superstars there. No matter what, it's going to be a good match. A little hard to call because you mentioned that there are a lot of kind of moving parts or potentially moving parts with RK-Bro, Rollins, and Owens. Like, it's tough to kind of think exactly how they might go. Again, we haven't really seen a clear sign of a split with RK-Bro. The past couple of weeks, at least, they have kind of softened on that seemingly a little bit. Rollins and Owens, I feel like that's definitely still an option. Steven's saying, yeah, definitely a lot of options they could go with here. But I think they really are, if not running out of time, WrestleMania is 40 days away. So they need to start really kind of, putting the foot on the gas and really trying to build up a little bit. I mean, we're seeing them do that anyway, but like, that, and I imagine we will continue to, but you know, something like you were just saying, a big turn or return of Stone Cold or something, you know, something like that would really add a lot more excitement. And Logan Paul, not so much. So hopefully something like that will happen in that match, or you know, as in the weeks ahead here to kind of help in that regard. But not predicting that we could see Alpha Academy keep the titles to WrestleMania, kind of like the Damian Priest thing, I could see them doing a multi-team tag title match for WrestleMania. If we don't see a split, I could see maybe a four-way. You do a rematch, and you throw in the Street Profits or something. That could be kind of fun. You mentioned maybe in one prediction being the Alpha Academy would retain somehow. Eddie kind of saying they could find a sneaky way to win the match, and then have that be the way RK-Bro eventually splits up. Maybe, you know, that could somehow set up Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins WrestleMania. Again, it's just tough to say. Like,
Let me ask you, because I think maybe I'm like lost in this whole thing. Like, what is the intrigue and or story behind this potential Cody and Seth match? Like, did I miss something? Like, what did I miss? Or is this just something that people want to see? Like,
I think it's just a matter of trying to figure out like what would be the best use or I'm not saying the easiest way, but like you bring.
But there's Cody no Rhodes history in between these two. Yeah. Is there the significant, or is no. there? No. Okay.
No, like Rhodes left in 2016, so there was some overlap in terms of they were in the company at the same time. But like, no, you know, Rollins was in the Shield. Cody was doing his thing. Cody was Stardust. Like, I just think it's more of a fact that, you know, they're both former world champions in various companies, I should say. Two very popular stars at this point. There is some kind of, at least maybe in the fans' minds, like Rollins kind of represents WWE, Rhodes kind of represents AEW at this point. So to do that would be kind of something like to that effect. In a way,
man, I really wish that Triple H was healthy enough to go, because that would be one to remember for a long time if they could somehow pull that off.
That'd be cool. You know, all the times Cody's used a shovel and he's used like the pedigree and, or a pedigree like move, and taking numerous shots at WWE. Yeah. So, man, that'd be really darn cool. But if Cody does come back, I think facing Rollins would be one of the more high profile things they could do. Something I've been thinking about myself is doing Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton. Obviously, the legacy connection there, yeah, back in the day, I think that would make a lot of sense. If not WrestleMania, if Cody does come back, just to have that, I think that would be one of the things I would want to see. But yeah, we still don't even know if he is coming back. I don't want to spend too much time talking about it without even knowing it's going to happen. Because far too often, John, we sit here and talk about things that are pure speculation and they wind up not happening at all. So as soon as we know more, and as soon as there's any kind of real indication that Cody is coming back, there have been reports, obviously. I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying that at this point, it still is very much up in the air. Did you find out they did do Cody and Orton before? I mean, yeah, but obviously a lot has changed.
Right? Yeah, it would be a lot different now.
Yeah, Cody left the company in 2016. Yeah, and he went and totally transformed his career, did a whole lot of stuff. Helped build a whole new company. Don't get into that, but there's definitely more grounds for doing a whole nother match there. Now, just predicting Cody's not coming. I mean, he left AEW. He's got to go somewhere. And if he wants to keep wrestling, I mean, and be in the spotlight, it's got to be WWE. Like, that's feels pretty pretty clear to me. Now, he could decide to not. Nah, he could decide he's got, you know, the Go Big Show on TBS, doing all those other things. You never know, but there are definite reasons to think that will happen. But of course, no, he could also be taking a break, right? It's not to say he may not come for WrestleMania. Could wait. That is entirely possible. We don't know. Something we do know tonight, we saw on Raw, was we got to see Rhea Ripley versus Nikki A.S.H. yet again. And Rhea Ripley won this match. And I just, this feud keeps going on. Rhea Ripley's won, I think, every match. So other than the fact that it has helped Nikki A.S.H. turn heel, it has really not done her any favors. Like, she's losing every match. Nikki, as an individual, didn't have like this great, you know, breakout performance at Elimination Chamber. You know, other than the kind of maybe some of the character work we're seeing, you know, it feels like she's been kind of shoved to the side here. Where it's like, and Rhea Ripley's the one that had the impressive run in the Gauntlet match last week, and she had a pretty good performance in the Chamber as well. But Nikki just like pretty much just being used, kind of help us further establish Rhea Ripley and get her back on more momentum here. Every time I see Nikki A.S.H. these days, I definitely think it's time to really kind of, and they already are, at least a little bit, to change the gimmick. And I've said this several times before, I really think it'd be really cool if they had Nikki go full supervillain and team up with Alexa Bliss. They've got the history there, and that would add more depth to the women's tag division, and just, that would be interesting to me. I want to see it. I think that'd be a good way to give them both something meaningful to do, and I'm hoping we'll be able to see that at some point soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be an interesting thing to do, but I mean, okay, let me ask you, what would make the most sense to you to see play out?
With the feud, or
yeah,
with...
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's time to end the feud. Like, it's between Nikki and Rhea. Like, Rhea's beaten her.
Oh no, I get that. I get that. I mean, like basically. So I said earlier today, I think Rhea is one of the contenders to win the Women's Battle Royal.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But what else would she do is what I guess what I'm saying. Like, after this, what would make the most sense?
I think the show will be in kind of a place that Bianca Belair was where in the fall and earlier this year, where she was kind of on the outskirts of the title picture, winning matches, looking good, and kind of waiting to get another title shot. I mean, I feel pretty safe. We'll talk about the segment we got with Bianca and Becky Lynch. Feel pretty confident, at least in my belief, that Bianca needs to win that match at WrestleMania. We talked about it a bit last night. I think a feud with Bianca and Ripley would be a very good feud for the summer. Or maybe if not WrestleMania Backlash, maybe like early summer. I don't think they need to wait on it too much. But DJ's saying, yeah, why don't they have Rhea go after Ronda after WrestleMania? Oh, Ronda, I didn't think about Ronda. Go after Ronda after WrestleMania. I mean, Ronda, on paper, I like that idea. I think it'd be a very good match. Ronda's on SmackDown right now. Unless they do like a superstar shakeup or a trade of some sort, that brand split makes things a little tricky. If they entirely scrap the brand split, that changes things, obviously. But they like to pretend the brand split still matters most of the time. So that does make things a little tricky in that sense. But I do think it'll be more of a case where Rhea would be kind of just, like I said, in that Bianca situation where, yeah, she might win the Battle Royal WrestleMania, but otherwise in a bit of a limbo, kind of waiting for a chance to challenge for a title. Do you have an idea otherwise of what she could do to kind of stand out on Raw or gain more momentum on Raw other than presumably challenging for the title?
No, and that's pretty much why I asked you. I have no idea what even would make sense at this point anyway.
I do think it'll help in CM Chambers pointing out, you know, or asking, you know, potentially having Asuka, Lacey Evans, Bayley coming back. If I don't know if all of them will return to WrestleMania, that'll be a lot to do them back, like presumably at some point over the next 40 days. I mean, 40 days, it sounds like a good amount of time, but like to do three big returns like that would be, you'd want to space them out somehow, but potentially having Bayley come back, you know, if she's good to go for WrestleMania, I think having her have a big match, who against, I don't know. Could we see her beyond Raw and face Rhea Ripley? Maybe. Same with Asuka. Like, who even really knows? But or on the flip side, you could have her be or go back to the tag division. Michael's saying maybe have her find another tag partner. Possible. DJ pointing out maybe we have Rhea Ripley face Asuka, like I mentioned a minute ago. Possible. Alexa Bliss, Sean Alford pointing out Alexa Bliss, you know, that's an option. She's back on Raw now. So she wasn't on the show tonight, but she was back in the Elimination Chamber and she's officially returned. So I think that'd be good as well. I don't know. You know, and I again, I joked about it in my tweet earlier today, but Lacey Evans could come back. Or maybe she'll come back in a high profile spot and potentially in a feud against Rhea Ripley. Possible. At this point, really anything's possible. Anything could really happen. So unfortunately, I feel, for better or worse, that like, yeah, again, to make the comparison, she'll just kind of win some matches, look pretty good, maybe not have a whole lot of substance in terms of a dewdrop like feud of something that kind of gets stretched out a little too long, putting on good matches, winning matches, but you know, nothing too groundbreaking. But yes, absolutely, Brian, I agree. The women's system does need to shake up, and having Asuka, Evans, Bayley potentially return at some point soon would definitely help. And then, as we talked about before, especially after WrestleMania, some NXT call-ups would be good as well. So here's hoping we get those sooner rather than later, because it's overdue. But otherwise here, oh, how could I forget? John, we had one of the weirdest segments I've seen in a while here, when Reggie, the 24/7 champion, came out 1 week after he was so tired of being in the friend zone, he betrayed Dana Brooke to win the 24/7 title.
Good.
And yes, proud of him. Good job, Reggie. Like, don't stay trapped in the friend zone. But then he backpedaled and said, all right, you know, I made a mistake. I was wrong. I want to make it up to you. He calls Dana Brooke out, and he proceeds to lay down to let him pin her. And then she pins him, and he kicks out. So he's messing with her, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he was made it seemed like he was joking. Lays down again, kicks out again, and then Dana Brooke kisses him, or as Corey Graves put it, the Greco-Roman lip lock, to pin him, win the title. The 24/7 contenders, if you will, come out. Akira Tozawa gets knocked off the apron, and they really build up this bit of him going for a kiss with Tamina. Tamina drops him. She was not feeling it. Yeah, DJ, I don't know. I don't know where the story is going. I don't know what we're doing here. This Nesha, if you like it, more power to you. I respect it, but I could have done without seeing this tonight, John. I don't know about you.
Yeah, this this wasn't good. I didn't like this or care for this. I don't really have I don't have a whole lot to add.
I saw someone tweet about it, and they just said, like, this kind of either this segment or this storyline as a whole made them hate the 24/7 title. I mean, if it took you that long, power to you. But I wouldn't hate is a strong word. I don't particularly like the title. Strong over saying they miss R-Truth. Yeah, we saw R-Truth. He ran in the ring. He was trying to get his baby back someday. Someday, I hope R-Truth gets his baby back, gets the title back. And then, yeah, oddly enough, Reggie helps Dana afterwards, helped him like keep the title, or helped her keep the title, I should say. So I don't know what they're doing. Like, it's like a will they, won't they romance friend thing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't have a lot more to say about it. I don't know where they're going. Michael's Cody. Saying that he loved and cringed at the Tozawa Tamina thing. It was funny. I saw that reaction. A lot of people actually enjoyed that part of it, but
this could be leading up to a backstage segment or something where like Cody Rhodes shows up and he wins the championship.
You know, I don't put anything past of a WWE at this point. I hope they would know better than that, but who knows, right? Maybe like 6 months into him potentially coming back, he'll just be in the 24/7 title scene for all we know. Who even knows anymore? But at the very least, Eddie, you're entirely right. At least Dana Brooke's on TV this time, unlike last year. I think last year she was on Raw sometimes. She was teaming with Mandy Rose back then, but not.
Well, yeah. Successful. Well, Veer is still on his way, right? He's coming.
He is coming. He is coming, folks. At some point, maybe Veer will come all the way and get the 24/7 title. Or this is all a joke and Veer will never come. They'll just keep tormenting the guy.
It's going to say WWE has come to terms on the release of Veer.
Oh, boy. That'd be the very ironic twist of fate. But here's hoping he actually comes. We got a vignette this week. He's on his way. He's come on Raw. Or sorry, he's come on main event several times, but never quite. He's never been able to make it to Raw. Just needs to last a little longer, but unfortunately, not yet. Otherwise, here we mentioned Bianca Belair. But Stevens asked, "Where's Elias?" Steven, Elias is dead. Don't you remember? Elias is dead. They killed him. They buried him. He's gone. He burnt the guitar. It was never heard from again. Apparently, some reports said that they were going to repackage him, and it didn't pan out, or they changed their mind. Which is even funnier than Veer, that they literally said he's dead, and that was in August, and he's literally just gone. Nobody knows. And as far as I've seen, I don't think he's even been on house shows or anything. Just nothing. As far as we know, hasn't been released or anything. Just nothing. Not sure what's going on there, but I mentioned Bianca Belair a minute ago. She came out to the ring, was talking about being the EST, talking about winning the chamber match, and talking about getting back to WrestleMania here, and presumably or possibly, or at the very least, you know, if not main eventing, at the very least having a title match the second year in a row. Becky Lynch comes out the champion after beating Lita and says, they proceeded to kind of argue about main eventing WrestleMania, with Becky saying, "I did it first," and Bianca said, "Well, I did it better." I was like, "You both did it. Like, great. It's good. Like, you don't need to argue about it. Like, it's a good thing. Like you both did something good." Seemed a little silly to me. Becky blamed Bianca for the fans hating her, which I thought was interesting because Becky beat Bianca. Like, some of the logic didn't quite add up to me. I'm having a hard time like explaining it, but like, I don't know. It took me a little bit out of it, but they did it in a way that like it kind of was interesting, which was like, "Oh, it's your fault that people despise me, I despise you, and this is going to be my redemption story." That part was kind of interesting. But it was a bit of a mixed bag. But John,
you're starting to dig that theme song.
Which one?
Dewdrop.
I am tweeting about it, but like, dude, they've changed their theme, I think, like three times, and all of them have been equally bad. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the first one, like, as a babyface, the happy-go-lucky, like, the dancing theme song made sense. It was fine. I didn't like it, but it was fine. She turns heel, keeps that one. That didn't make sense. So they change it. I believe they changed it once. It wasn't really good. Now they changed it again, and it's just, like, really dark and, like, semi-menacing theme, and it's almost like they went way in the opposite direction. Like, that's no, like, Dewdrop isn't this like monster, she's just like, she's a heel, but like,
And Dana Brooks' new theme song is bad too.
Yeah, the theme songs lately just have not been very good. Like they had a bit of a good run where they got some really good ones. But
Roman's Fest.
Romans is good. Romans, I did not like it at first. Romans is very, very good. It slaps. I like it. That is like one of the very few exceptions where a new theme song.
That was on your Spotify favorites list right there.
Guilty. You know who actually is on my playlist? Tommaso Ciampa. And they took it away from us tonight. They gave him the Jobber entrance.
You got some of it.
You're right. But
I think the Doudrop and Belair match was okay. Belair obviously should win. Keep showcasing her strength. Keep building this match. Here's one thing that does annoy me, though, is how many main events can you really have at WrestleMania? Because Becky's the main event. But wait, no. Roman's the main event. But no, Charlotte and Ronda are the main event. So, we all know what the real main event / main events are. And unfortunately, out of those three, the Becky and Belair one is the one that is not a main event. So, can we stop saying, like, I'm the main event? You are not the main event.
Yeah. You know, at this point, not in the same way, but this one feels a lot like Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley last year, where it's a big match. It's two top stars, but you know, not everything could be the main event. You know that Roman and Brock's going to be the main event. It feels like a pretty safe bet that Ronda and Charlotte's going to be the main event, because that's a big match. And this one's a big match as well, but you can only have technically two actual main events, two matches that actually conclude the shows on both nights. Now, technically, you could have a big match open the show as like the inverse main event tech in a way. And exactly, Michael's saying that Bianca and Becky could open the show and have Charlotte Ronda close night one. I feel like they're going to do them on separate nights. I don't think they're going to do both women's championship matches on one night. So if I had to predict, I would think, I don't know what would open night one in that case. Maybe that. And then maybe something else for night two. I would think Charlotte and Ronda will close night one, and then Roman and Brock will close night two. But yeah, that is definitely the problem at this point. That's one of the downsides of having two nights for WrestleMania. It's like, it really makes the match order challenging for them, obviously, and challenging for us to try and sit here and predict, because other than kind of some of the fairly obvious, like, oh, well, you could only have two action main events.
Oh, Colin has lost his microphone. Another day here. But, you know, I think overall the show tonight, from what we saw, an aspect of these tag matches being built up, these single matches being built up, the female division continued to being built up. We continue getting all these teases for upcoming WrestleMania matches, the possibility that we could have legends returning. I wanted to address a question that DJ had asked me of who I thought was going to induct Undertaker to the Hall of Fame. I think it should be Kane. I really do, but I don't think it will be. I honestly think there is a strong chance that Vince will be the one that does it. And I don't think he's ever done it before. He's always been behind the scenes. Colin, if you had to pick right now, if they said, Colin, we need somebody to induct Undertaker into the Hall of Fame, who are you picking and why?
My heart says Kane, but my head says Vince, because obviously Kane, the Brothers of Destruction, all that stuff makes sense. But Vince, like, they've made it very clear, Vince has made it clear over the years in various, if not interviews, like.
Oh, he did. He inducted Stone Cold.
All right. Well, but exactly, like a very special circumstance of like as someone that he is very, very close to and or values very, very, very much. Undertaker, a legend, you know, obviously like a guy that's been there 30 years, that's carried the company, that's been like the locker room leader, the guy for them.
Didn't Kane like induct himself because of the COVID thing? Did anybody actually induct Kane?
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head, but that sounds right. It's weird. This will be. I don't think they really had a proper ceremony last
year. Yeah, so I'm looking at it. Basically, they just did video packages and the person came out to talk. So nobody to answer your question.
I would think one of the two, definitely Kane or Vince. I think there's something said for either one. And then it turns into just a matter of, well, like, if Vince McMahon wants to do it or feels compelled to do it. But if it's not him, I think came with the right call. But you have options, you know, and Steven saying Vince, Kane, or Michelle McCool, Undertaker's wife, would be good options. But I think definitely for me, Vince or Kane would make the most sense. Or you think about Paul Heyman or Brother Love, Shawn Michaels, another option, Shawn Oliver chiming with that. That speaks to the legend that Undertaker is. Like, any one of these guys or any one of these people could do it. And anyone would make sense. I'm sure any one of them would do a great job. But definitely a question we've seen several times here about the Hall of Fame class. Eddie asking, should Undertaker be the only induction or to make it more special? I mean, it's weird because they are doing the Hall of Fame after SmackDown this year. So it's not going to be, it would seemingly not be this like full lengthy ceremony. I like the idea of doing Undertaker on his own, just having him be on his own. John's shaking his head at me and throwing hands, but it's the Undertaker, John. It's the Undertaker. Anyone else would just feel like so secondary.
I don't care if it's Vince McMahon. Like, no. If you're going to stay after SmackDown, which, may I add, is an hour behind in Dallas, so it's not technically going to be 10, it's going to be 9, which isn't too bad. I think they, and I agree with DJ, it's a think and a one at this point. There should be, and I think there will be more than one. Now, it's anybody's guess who is going to be as far as additional people.
I feel like at least it'll be maybe a smaller class. You know, they might not load up too much. Maybe like 5 people total. I think that's kind of fair. Steven's kind of like what Steven's saying, Hall of Fame.
There has to be a female competitor too, you know. They always have to keep the female.
All right. So no, do 5. You know, we got like Undertaker, a woman's legend, presumably a celebrity of some sort. Sure, why not? a legacy inductee of some sort. Something. DJ, I don't think China's ever got inducted. I'm pretty sure that China has not gotten inducted yet. I don't even think she was inducted. Well, I think maybe. No, I don't think she was a member of DX when they inducted the group, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think she was. She was.
But many people like firmly believe she should get, and I think she would rightfully deserve her own induction. So I hope she gets that at some point. Batista, the animal.
I think either Batista or The Rock will headline next year's class. The Rock will not if he's going to compete. Batista probably would. If The Rock is not going to compete, because I don't think you can have him inducted and then competing the next night. Like, that's a little bit too, you know what I mean? Like, no.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it. I mean, especially now you see a guy like Edge. I know it's different. He was inducted and he came back 10 years later. But I think that maybe you have a little bit of a softening of, oh, you know, they got inducted and then you can never wrestle again. I don't think that's exactly true. But I see you're saying the next night is a little, that's a little weird. But, and also I shouldn't forget the Warrior Award as well, like for contributions otherwise. And I definitely like this comment from Steven saying Chad Gaspard, the late great Chad Gaspard for Warrior Award. That'd be great. I would like that. Michael's saying if the Rock's inducted next year, but this is definitely backing out. I don't know when they would do Batista.
They wanted to do the Hardys, DJ. You know that's not going to happen. They already tried to do that. No, they wanted to do just Jeff, and Jeff said no, both or none, and they said okay, bye. So that's not going to happen. Because if that was going to happen, then they need to put Chris Jericho in, because Chris Jericho needs to go in, but that's not going to happen yet either.
Someday, in a not too distant future, I have to imagine Matt Hardy, Chris Jericho, any number of other people will get that honor, but maybe not this year. But I like this. This is Nando from the show saying maybe Victoria for the women's induction. Stephen Amell from Arrow, he who competed at SummerSlam 2015. Oh yeah, I would like that. That'd be cool. I'm a big fan of Stephen Amell. That'd be pretty darn cool. and then he could be inducted by Cody Rhodes. There you go. They had a match. They were feuding back then. There you go. See, it writes itself, John. It writes itself. Oh, absolutely. But Steven, I agree. Paul Heyman, 100% deserves Hall of Fame. I would say this year, but like when, at some point, he's got to be. He's a living legend. He's an all-time great. Certainly hope so. I'm sure we'll find out over the weeks and who even knows. Sean Oliver saying Gail Kim. She is heavily involved with Impact Wrestling, but Mickie James competed in the Royal Rumble, so maybe some even loose collaboration there could definitely kind of set the stage for that. She was a women's champion. I think she would deserve that as well.
Karma. I could put in karma.
Yeah. She had a good career. You know, she's a legend as well. Why not? But I'm sure we'll find out in the weeks, months ahead. Hopefully, we won't have to wait too much about it. But John, overall here, Raw tonight, eventful, for better or worse, gave us a lot to talk about. What do you think about the show?
6.75. What about you?
I'll go for a 6.5. I think 6.5 is kind of fair. Nothing, maybe other than the Reggie thing, nothing horrendously bad. Finisher Nando giving us a 10 out of 10. We appreciate you, Nando. Giving Raw a 6.6 ducks, whatever that means. It's middle of the road. Nothing great. Steven saying it was a good show, giving it a 7. Nesha Green was 7 as well. Worth pointing out, I should have mentioned it earlier, this Raw tonight was number 1,500. The 1,500 episodes of Raw in the can, and they didn't do anything to hype that up tonight. Didn't make a. I don't think they even said it. Not that I can remember. If they did, it was like pretty a passing reference. Whereas most fans on Twitter were like, "Oh, it's a 1,500 episode." DJ saying he's disappointed they didn't hype it up at all. But yeah, like that is a pretty big deal. Overall, giving 8.9 dogs. There you go, pretty high score there. Michael, an 8.5, well paced show. I agree. It didn't drag so much. I thought like, you know, they did a good job kind of spacing things out. Again, the Reggie thing kind of dragging down a little bit. But 6.5 does seem, or roughly that, at least in my book, pretty fair. For the middle of the road, nothing too bad, but there you go. You know, hopefully, we are on the road to WrestleMania. Hopefully, it'll get more interesting here. Even more interesting in the weeks ahead. But we'll be here every step of the way on Raw on Monday with the post show, on the NXT side of things with the post show on Tuesdays. We're back here kind of full steam ahead of year on the road to WrestleMania. So with that, we're back here on Tuesday night for the NXT post show. One more for the Raw score of Kevin giving 8.2. And otherwise, as I said, Raw, NXT, schedule permitting, we're here on Fridays with the SmackDown post show. And otherwise, we've got a great stream of interviews constantly coming at you guys. Also, the two Diamond Dudes on a Rampage go for all things AEW. And we also have the Hot Tag. Last week, our new episode was talking all things Cody Rhodes, Steve Austin possibly coming back, and more. All these things and more. WWE, AEW, everything in between in the world of wrestling. That's a nice kind of show that we can talk about everything. So make sure to check that out. And all of it's available on SoundCloud, Spotify. You know where to find us. So we definitely appreciate you leaving like and subscribing. We appreciate your support so much. We come here to do one thing. But of all others, John, can you tell me what that is?
Sit back, relax, enjoy the show.
You're darn right. Thanks for listening, everybody.